Welcome to Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of your life. This program is brought to you by Hidden with Christ Ministries of Tustin, California. Now, here's Rita with Keys to Victorious Christian Living.
Hello, friends. Have you ever wondered why some people who started out loving God, walking towards the purposes and the promises of God, ended up so very far from God? There have been people who started out zealous for the Lord, who started out in humility, who loved the Lord, ended up later in life very, very far away from God. In the Old Testament, in the chronicles of the lives of both King Saul and King David, we can find some amazing parallels between them. Oftentimes, King Saul has been characterized very simply as the bad king and King David as the good king. And yet I believe that there are many more parallels between their lives before they went off on divergent paths that perhaps have been noted when we've studied these two lives. Saul was the king that was chosen when the people of Israel clamored to the prophet Samuel that God give them a king. Samuel had ruled in Israel, being a prophet in the land, and he would teach the people the ways of the Lord. And as he became an old man, his own sons did not have the same spirit that Samuel had, and they did not treat the people with the same righteousness as Samuel had. They took bribes and they perverted justice, the Word of God tells us. And so the people of Israel, fearing that Samuel would die, and they would be left simply with his sons as their spiritual leaders, they asked that the Lord provide them with a king so they could be like other nations. And so Saul was chosen, was anointed by God to be the king over Israel. Though the choice of Saul came with a warning from Samuel that here's your king, but it's not going to be easy. But I want to talk about King Saul today and King David and point out that there were many parallels between Saul and David. David ended up becoming a great king for Israel, a great man of God, the sweet psalmist of Israel as he's referred to, and a great spiritual leader and prophet, prophesying of the Messiah in generations to come. But Saul started out as well to be a great leader for Israel. And I'm going to show you in the scriptures where God points out that his purpose for Saul wasn't for defeat and tragedy, but it was for a good for the people of Israel. But he ended up dying and in a very tragic way becoming nothing like King David in his life. So my question for you today is this. Will you have tragedy or triumph in your life? Will you make choices in your life that will lead you to become either a Saul or a David? In the Christian church, we see people who start out well and end up tragically. And then we see others who start out well and end gloriously, walking with God, becoming greater and greater in the Lord, and dying and going on to live in eternity with the Lord, with a great heritage behind them. This was not the case with Saul. I truly believe, as we see in 1 Samuel chapter 9, starting at verse 16, that God's intention, even though it displeased the Lord that the people asked for a king, I believe it was God's intention that their king still be a blessing to Israel and lead them in triumph. In 1 Samuel 9, verse 16, the Lord said to Samuel the prophet, "Tomorrow about this time I'll send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him commander over my people Israel, that he may save my people from the hand of the Philistines." So we see here by that statement, God's word to Samuel, that God's intention for this leader who was going to be Saul, that he would save the people of Israel from the hand of the Philistines. So God's intention was for triumph and for victory through Saul's life for the people of Israel. And then in 1 Samuel 13:13, we see it kind of an echoing of the idea that God's intention for Saul's life was for blessing. 1 Samuel 13:13, we see Samuel rebuking Saul for having disobeyed the Lord, but pointing out that God would have blessed him if he had done the right thing. And in verse 13 of 1 Samuel 13, it says, Samuel said to Saul, "You've done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue." But we see these words, "The Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever," implying that God's intention for Saul's life was blessing and a long lineage of blessing after him. And yet he ended up losing the kingdom and the kingdom being given to his neighbor, as the scripture calls King David. God's intent for Saul's life was triumph and victory, but he ended up in tragedy. Saul started out, much like David, with a humble opinion of himself and of his own abilities. We see this very clearly in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 21, where Saul was hiding with the baggage when they looked for him, wanting to anoint him as the king. It was not his own desire to be a king. He didn't think very highly of himself. In verse 21 of 1 Samuel chapter 9, it says, "Saul answered Samuel, 'Am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and is my family not the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Why do you speak to me like this?'" He had a humble opinion of himself, of his family, of his own abilities. And in chapter 10, we see when that time came to anoint him, that he was hiding, he was resisting being put in the position of a leader. But he was brought out. The Lord had to identify he was hiding among the equipment or among the baggage. And they brought him out and anointed him as king, almost against his own will or against his own opinion. He didn't think really highly of himself. He started out in a place of humility. Many people who walk with God start out in a place of humility, but end up proud, resisting God, and end up in tragedy. David, King David, also started out from a humble position. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 8 tells us that God said about David, "I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people Israel." He started out from a place of humility. He wasn't even called in when Samuel the prophet went to Jesse's house to anoint one of the sons to be king of Israel. His father Jesse didn't even bother to call him in from the field, but instead had all the other brothers standing before Samuel until Samuel finally said, "The Lord hasn't chosen any of these. Don't you have another one?" And sure enough, Jesse mentioned, "Well, by the way, we have this guy out in the field. He's the youngest," and brought him in. And that was the choice of the Lord, was David. But both Saul and David started out humbly. They had not a high opinion of themselves. They started out well, you could say. The second thing that we can see in parallel between Saul and David's life is that God himself divinely enabled Saul and divinely enabled David with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, with a supernatural, you could say, conversion experience or touch from God that changed their hearts. And it was a God thing. It wasn't their own doing. It was a God appointment. It was a God encounter that they had. There was divine enablement given both to Saul to be a leader and to David to be a leader. You could say the Lord didn't short Saul, only anointing David, but didn't really give Saul much of an anointing. That would not be a true statement, because we see in 1 Samuel chapter 10 the account of God touching Saul, and it's quite powerful. When you read it, if you look in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1, we see where Samuel anoints Saul. And it says, "Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, 'Is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance?'" And just to prove it to Saul, who wasn't very sure of the whole matter himself, Samuel gave Saul three signs that would confirm that this was really God. And he went on to say, "When you've departed from me today, you'll find two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say to you, 'The donkeys which you went to look for have been found. And now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys and is worried about you, saying, "What shall I do about my son?" Then you shall go forward from there and come to the terebinth tree of Tabor. There three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. They will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. After that you shall come to the hill of God, where the Philistine garrison is. And it will happen, when you have come there to the city, that you'll meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with a stringed instrument, a tambourine, a flute, and a harp before them, and they'll be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man." Now that right there is a word of God. It said that Saul would have the Spirit of God come upon him. So we see this great encounter with God. And it says that that encounter with God will turn Saul into another man. You'll see a conversion of his own heart right there. What do we say about somebody who is born again? That they are literally become a new creation. You could say they're turned into another man. So this was almost an Old Testament conversion experience, or such an encounter with God that there was a change of heart in Saul's life. God didn't short Saul of the anointing of God or of the empowerment of God. He gave Saul everything he gave David when it came to the anointing. And yet somehow it wasn't enough, because Saul went away from God later on. And the scripture goes on to say in verse 7, Samuel's words to Saul, "Let it be, when these signs come to you, that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you." And then he gives Saul some other instructions, which we'll talk about in a moment. But it says in verse 9, "So it was when he turned his back to go from Samuel that God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. And when they came to the hill, there was a group of prophets to meet him. And the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them." That word, that God gave him another heart, shows you that God equipped him, empowered him, anointed him for the call that he had on his life to be a leader over Israel. We see the same type of encounter with David, that when Samuel anointed David with the flask of oil in Jesse's house, it says the Spirit of the Lord came upon David and was with him from that day forward. So we see that Saul was not shorted any of the anointing of the Lord and only God gave it to David. No, he was given the encounter of God with God. He was changed into another man. It says God gave him a new heart that day. He was given what it would be required to be a godly leader to Israel. But what happened? Both David and Saul got the same anointing, and yet Saul went tragically in one direction and David went triumphantly in another. Today I want to point out to you how it was that Saul's path diverged out of the will of God, and how so many people that perhaps you've even known in the body of Christ who started out well, who were humble in their own eyes, who were anointed by God, whose heart was changed, who had a conversion experience, who had the baptism in the Holy Spirit. How is it that some of these people end up going so far from God's will and end up tragically, even as King Saul did? I'm going to show you several things in Saul's life that I believe were subtle life choices that determined whether he would have become a great leader for Israel or tragically falling away, apostate, far from God. And these life choices are things that each of us encounter as well. The first thing that I want to point out to you is this, that when Samuel the prophet gave Saul the instructions, here's what's going to happen to you, here are the three signs that this really is God's will for your life and God's call on your life and that God's going to empower you and give you His Spirit. He gave him his very first word, or you could say instruction, from God. And we find it in 1 Samuel 10, verse 8. And it says this. Samuel is speaking to Saul, and this was his first instruction after being anointed as the king. You shall go down before me, that's Samuel speaking to Saul, to Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and make sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you should do. So this was the first instruction that he received. God's word through the prophet Samuel given to Saul. He was to go down and wait for 7 days, and then wait for Samuel's appearance, and then Samuel would make these offerings to the Lord, and then he would give instructions as what King Saul was supposed to do. And here's where we see the beginning of the end for King Saul. We see the beginning of wrong choices, the beginning of Saul going outside of God's will and making choices that would ultimately lead to his demise, his falling away from God, and his loss of the kingdom of Israel to a man better than him, as the scripture describes David. In 1 Samuel 13, we see what actually happened. It says that Saul went down to Gilgal, and in verse 8, and all the people followed him. And it says in verse 8 that he waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, "Bring a burnt offering and peace offerings here to me." And he offered the burnt offering, which was forbidden to him, it says in the Amplified Version. Now it happened, as soon as he had finished offering the burnt offering, that Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him, that he might greet him. And Samuel said, "What have you done?" And Saul said, "Well, when I saw the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered together at Mishmash, then I said, 'The Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord.' Therefore I felt compelled, and I offered a burnt offering." And Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever, but now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." This was a prescription for disaster. First of all, Saul couldn't wait patiently, and that's what we see happening. He waited for the 7 days, and then he started to get nervous because he didn't see any sign of Samuel. Things were happening. The Philistines were coming against the army of Israel. They were on their way to him, and Saul was getting nervous. But instead of obeying God and waiting the 7 days according to the appointed time set by Samuel, he decided to take matters into his own hands. He made three errors here. He couldn't wait patiently for the Lord. He thought God wasn't going to come through. We see this in many Christians' lives. They begin to wait on the Lord for a certain thing, but as the pressure of circumstances begin to mount, they are fearful that God's not going to come through, or they think that God's word's not going to come to pass. And they look at their circumstances and they make decisions based on what the circumstances look like. This guarantees making wrong decisions. And then thirdly, Saul took matters into his own hands and acted in the flesh rather than in the spirit. He was walking by sight. He looked at his circumstances. He couldn't wait patiently. He was getting fearful and anxious. And then he took matters into his own hands, acted in the flesh rather than in the spirit. And that set of decisions resulted in his loss of authority. God requires exact obedience to have leadership authority that's established by God. Exact obedience. And to be a leader, you have to be able to make decisions based on the word of the Lord alone and not based on the circumstances, nor based on the people around you or what they're saying or doing, and acting in the spirit instead of in the flesh. And this was Saul's first test, and he failed miserably. And as a result, it said that the Lord would have established his kingdom, but now his kingdom was not going to continue. This was danger, but this was the exact place where Saul diverged out of God's will. He couldn't wait on the Lord. He looked at his circumstances. He walked by sight rather than by faith. And then he took matters into his own hands. He took the path of flesh rather than the path of the Spirit. And this prescription for disaster resulted in Saul's own kingdom and his heritage being taken away from him in the historical sense. The house of Saul did not reign because eventually King David came and took over, and God established his throne through David instead of through Saul. God didn't intend for this. We saw that God's intention for Saul's life was triumph and victory, but Saul's decisions made the determination of his future. And this is the same for each one of us. Sometimes Christians, when they are starting out well, humble before the Lord, have the anointing of God, have the conversion experience, have the Holy Spirit, all of those things. But when they get into difficult circumstances, they begin to fear that God's word's not going to come to pass. They begin to fear that waiting patiently is a mistake instead of the word of the Lord. And they begin to walk by sight. And they take matters into their own hands, and that's where they veer off of God's path and disaster comes their way. But God gave Saul another chance to be used by God. And we see this example in 1 Samuel chapter 15. And it says that Samuel came to Saul and said, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people. Now therefore heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, I will punish what Amalek did to Israel, how he laid in wait for him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and don't spare them. Kill both man and woman, infant, nursing child, ox, sheep, camel, and donkey." Saul gathered the people and they went to Amalek. And the story goes on, and you can read it, that Saul attacked the Amalekites and he destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword, but he took the king, Agag, alive, and he spared the best of the sheep, oxen, lambs, and everything that was good. Well, that was another grave mistake on Saul's part. He did not fully obey the voice of God through Samuel. He partially obeyed. We find out very clearly that partial obedience is disobedience in God's eyes. And here's the reason that Saul gave when Samuel confronted him and said, "What's this bleeding of the oxen and the sheep I hear?" when Saul claimed that he had obeyed God's voice. And Saul said to Samuel in verse 24 of 1 Samuel, chapter 15, "I've sinned, I've transgressed the commandment of the Lord, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." Fear of man, Proverbs tells us, will bring a snare. Saul had a great problem. He did have fear of man, and that brought on disaster. He feared the people when they pressured him, "Oh, let us take some of the spoil," and obeyed their voice, and by doing that, he finalized God's decision, you could say. And it says in verse 26, through Samuel's voice, "The Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel," because Saul had rejected the word of the Lord and didn't fully obey it. Friends, Saul's errors are a warning to us. God wants complete obedience. He wants you to fear God and not man. He wants you to crave God's honor more than the honor of the people, which was one of Saul's shortcomings. And God wants you to be a person who will wait patiently on him, walk by faith and not by sight, fear God more than man, and be obedient to the exact word of the Lord and not just partially obedient. I believe many Christians err and go far from God when they begin to practice partial obedience, and slowly but surely it erodes their walk with God, and they end up like Saul, tragically, rather than like David, triumphantly. That's all the time we have for today. This is Rita Langland encouraging you, have a victorious life in God by obeying Him completely, by staying humble in your own eyes and before the Lord, and by walking by faith and not by sight. God bless you. Have a victorious week.
Thanks for joining us today for Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. If you would like to support this ministry, please write to us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. That's P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. Visit our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com, where you may order tapes or submit a prayer request. Or call us at toll-free 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, thanks for joining us for Keys to Victorious Christian Living.